Hey, how you doing, Duff here? Just a quick note. About the first 15 minutes of the live stream was kind of messed up audio-wise, and the rest of it is still not great. So I apologize for the audio quality, and we will be working on sorting that out on the next episode. And yeah, enjoy the show. I'll fix
All right, guys. Well, hope it holds. It holds, and let's see what happens. Let's see. We got lots of notes between ourselves today.
We do.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Marty, I don't know. Do you want me to start?
Yeah. You want to talk about you have anything interesting to say about the RTL?
Well, I saw Ian's video that he posted a couple days ago about his 18L. You know how he always does his extensive initial reviews on them, and I was surprised at the mileage numbers that he was reporting. Because they sounded really low. I guess he struggled. He was down to like the last few percent of battery just to get 30 miles his first time, I think. That's correct, right? I think he barely scraped 30 on his.
Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance
Okay.
to see the video. It's only second half and reading about what people have been saying.
Yeah, someone else
But
might correct me. I thought he barely got 30 on his first ride, and then he thought, "Ah, that seems low." So he did a proper test where he geared up, and I guess he was doing like a continuous ride, more similar to what I do, and he got even worse mileage. He got he at one point in the video he said he was down to 30% battery after 18 miles. So that sounded fishy. And just to reinforce the better battery performance that I've been getting today, or since the battery has been swapped out today, I did like a 26 and a half mile ride, and I had 44% left after that kind of distance. So it seems like there's something strange going on with the mileage numbers he's getting on his 18L.
people can't, by the way, your live stream keeps going to work, all kinds of different screens, and
What?
it's like, yeah, I don't know. I was seeing Skype set up, all kinds of, this del man, massive delay. It looks like that's a large delay.
It might
I
be.
don't, unless maybe my screen, maybe I'm, I might be, oh, I know what's happening.
Well, they're saying that your mic is hot too, Marty. You might want to try to do that setting that I did. Turn down your mic and don't let it auto set.
Yeah, I couldn't even find any settings
Well,
and
in like if you go onto your Skype screen and like if you put your mouse over our video stream right now, you should see a gear. Like when you mouse over, you'll see a gear up here in the top right corner normally.
not my Skype anyway.
Maybe you have an older version. But if you can find your audio video settings, then under microphone, that's just an option to turn off the automatically adjust and just manually set your volume.
I guess I'll see if I can update. I thought I had the most recent version.
I actually
Oh,
just,
well.
see, that's another thing that changed. I actually got a prompt for an update prior to the stream, and I applied it, so I don't know. Maybe the mismatch in versions is part of our problem. I don't really know.
Okay.
But you don't see like any kind of menu option on your screen at all, Marty, to
Well,
change your settings.
on the upper left, I see a set of, menu, and I can go to settings, but I see no
Yeah, it should be in your
option.
settings.
I just don't see any options that allow me to change anything right now. And it could be because we're actually live.
Yeah, because at least with the version I have, I'm able to change it on the fly. Either that or move your lapel mic away from your mouth a little bit, maybe.
Yeah. Real fun.
I can still hear you fine with it down there.
We'll see how it goes down there.
Yeah, it sounds okay down there. Just don't go beating your chest about your Z10. Okay, yeah,
So,
they said that's better, Marty.
okay, so we're talking about the 18L. Ian's, One thing, it doesn't surprise me, every time I've seen him do tests on all the wheels, the Monster, the M Super, everything, he always seems to get horrible mileage compared to what I get. And I've talked to him about it, you know, in various messages, and I guess he does weigh over 200 pounds, so he doesn't look like he weigh that much.
Mm-hmm.
He must be tall, I'm guessing. How much do you weigh?
Like 185.
Okay. So, yeah, and I don't know, like some people suggest the conditions, but I don't know, his conditions don't seem that much
Mm-mm.
different. I mean, it's not like he's riding up the Rockies or something.
I mean, I know he's like a couple of his review videos, he was doing them like in wintertime and when temperatures were very cold, and I would expect the battery performance to be worse in those conditions, but it sounded, I don't know, I'm just wondering if he might have a suspect battery in that model or in that particular unit, maybe. I don't know. Because it seemed pretty, and that's actually when I first got mine, you know, initially it seemed okay, but then it went downhill. Each subsequent ride, the performance got worse and worse. So, you might be having the same thing going on.
You got great mileage, and then I forget, someone else said that they got good mileage too.
Ulf, he's reported a good mileage on his as well. So, I don't know. But hopefully,
yeah, he's spitting out the videos though, huh?
Yeah. Well, he hires someone to do his videos. You can tell. I mean, the production value of his content has really gone up. It looks a lot better now.
Right. And he's doing his live stream. He's doing pretty consistently now.
Yeah, every week. Mm-hmm. Every Tuesday or Wednesday, I believe. Yeah. No, he's really investing some money in that.
Yeah, but I go into work relatively late in the morning, so half the time I'm actually around when I see his live stream go up, so sometimes I poke in there and say hi.
Well, I saw you poked in this week, because I caught it after it broadcast, but I saw that you were in there for a little bit, so I tried to get in, but it depends what's going on. Oh, and the other thing that he mentioned in his review, and I echoed that today, I confirmed that today, is how terrible the Kingsong app is at calculating distance. Like on my ride, which I've measured with the GPS and an app on my phone, it was 26.6 miles, but the Kingsong app was reporting 31 miles plus. And Ian saw the same thing, that the Kingsong app is like 20-25% more optimistic than what your actual distance is. So that's kind of bad.
Does anyone actually use those estimates? So I look at that just like...
I hope not.
I mean, you know how they say... If you look at the specs on all our wheels, you know, they say you're going to get this huge range and then you end up getting about half that range.
Well, I just think it's funny because I think that the posted range for the 18L is up to 100 kilometers. And I'm just wondering if that's using their screwed up app that, you know, overestimates mileage. That's how they tested it. I don't know. But
you would think if I was writing the software for that, it seemed pretty easy to get to measure.
It's a calculation, right?
Yeah, because it knows how far you've traveled.
On rotation.
For a given ride, for a given day, it knows how long you've been riding, battery consumption. It should be able to dynamically calculate a fairly accurate range, but it's way up. The Z10, by the way, is just, to me, the same way.
Really?
It's been telling me I have this, you know, I have 30 more miles, and I know for a fact I'll be lucky if I get 15 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't believe what they say.
Yeah. And one other thing that Ian talked about in his video was the lift detect switch, how spotty it is. Like he did 10 consecutive attempts, you know, lifting it off the ground, it's supposed to disengage, and it worked 4 out of 10 times. And it's funny, today, like, I actually had the same thing. I was riding on the road and I wanted to get up onto the bike path. I stopped, lifted it up, and it took my third try until it actually disengaged. So I don't know why it's so spotty like that, but that is definitely an issue.
Does it give you any feedback.
It beeps. You hear a beep if it works, and if it doesn't beep, it's going to spin up on you. So.
So you don't really have to experience a failure. You can just kind of.
You can tell.
Click. Wait for it, and yeah, okay.
Yeah, you know right away if it worked or not. So, but it does not seem to work consistently.
Yeah, the Z10 is my Z10 is pretty consistent, though. I do wait for it to hear the double. Mm-hmm. It's got this clicking sound.
Yep.
The wheel that's probably most reliable, I only have two to compare against, is the NCM5. It has a really dependable lift switch in the handle.
Mm-hmm. Some people in chat are saying that I need to do a calibration for the lift handle. No, to answer your question, no, I have not. I've done a calibration for level on the wheel. I have not tried to do a calibration for the lift handle. So. I guess maybe I need to do that. I need to calibrate it. I'll try that and I'll report back. To be honest, I didn't realize that I had to calibrate the lift handle.
But, how do you do that?
I don't know. I don't think I can do it. I have my phone right here, but and I have my 18L behind me, actually, but I don't think I can do it without turning it on. I don't know. I'll figure. Well, I'm sure someone on chat will tell me as well, but I bet it's pretty easy. So, okay. So anyways, you mentioned your Z10, Marty, and I found one of my most interesting videos to watch this week was your extended Z10 review, where you said you love the wheel overall, but I mean you had a lot of things to say about it, you know, and none of them seemed like major things, but they were just more like annoyances, not necessarily like huge issues, but just annoyances.
Yeah, I previously pretty much hit all the high points, and I thought people would be more interested in knowing after I have, like right now, I have almost 600 miles riding the Z10, you know, but
it's crazy.
So I figure people would like to know what I see as the problematic areas, right? Because after that kind of miles, you kind of get to know all the idiosyncrasies of the wheel. So probably the one that annoys me is the two, I think, trying to remember what I said, but two that I think that kind of annoy me the most is the power button, how easy it is to turn the wheel off.
I think we talked about that before, like when I had the test wheel, I could not believe that they had a momentary press on-off on that. On the wheel, and I was sure that it was just some sort of oversight. I can't believe the production wheels had that same setup. That's crazy. It's so easy to turn it off and on. It's ridiculous. Accidentally.
They've been pushing out firmware updates. I just applied a firmware update 2 or 3 days ago. So I'm hoping maybe somehow this feedback gets to Ninebot and someone decides, yeah, maybe that's a good idea, and they can change the firmware to a long press.
I mean, much like being able to calculate the distance accurately, I would think being able to put in some code, okay, require button to be held for 3 seconds before it turns on and off. I mean, that should not be a hard thing to add to firmware.
Yeah. Right.
It just seems incredible that no one else had identified that as a red flag prior to this.
I know. A lot of times it's not like it affects you all the time, but it kind of depends on the kind of riding you do. If you're doing kind of riding where you have to grab the handle periodically, whenever I'm doing that kind of riding, that wheel is getting turned off. It's a pain.
Yeah, if you're doing like your trail riding where you might come off at any moment, you got to quick grab it, it's going off on you.
Yeah.
That's scary.
And then the other one that most disturbing is the calibration on the pedals.
Oh yeah, I didn't know about that one.
I've definitely read some comments from other people that have been saying the same thing, that doesn't seem to hold the calibration. One thing you can't, how on the King Song, all the other wheels, you can pretty much set the calibration to what you want. So if you want the pedals tilting back a little bit or forward or level, you know, whatever you want, you can do it. If you can do that on the Z10, I don't know how, and maybe it's not easy if you can. It's like when you do the calibration, it just tries to automatically find level that it thinks is level, which does seem to set the pedals level. But the problem is when you're riding, if you're riding in, you know, rough conditions where you're getting bounced around, the pedals start going out of calibration. And so far, it typically ends up pedals dipping back. And it seems to quite often go back to level at some point, but not, I mean, it could be miles of riding before it seems to settle back. And I've also had cases where I turned on the wheel and the wheel, the pedals were not level when I turned it on, and it stayed in that position and I had to calibrate it. So
that's crazy.
I don't know, I'm kind of thinking maybe they have a crappy their sensor that they use for level is maybe crappy. Well, and yeah.
Well, now that you say that, I'm thinking back to my Ninebot 1E Plus and my Ninebot or Segway S1 that I had. I don't think either of them had an ability to change the angle of the pedals either. And that seems like a huge oversight, because every other wheel I've ever heard of does have the ability to do that. So I don't know why they would not allow a user to do that. That's very strange. Another oversight.
Think about, you know, I have 11 wheels. I say 11 because the 11th is my El Cheapo $300 generic. Chinese wear wheels are generic by default.
You still have that.
Think about it. But my generic Chinese wheel, it doesn't have any calibration. It doesn't have an app.
Well, right. Yeah. My $200 wheel that I used to have did not have anything either. So, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So maybe there is a...
But you think a $2,000 wheel should have something like that. Probably. No.
Yeah. Huh. You would think.
So,
anyway, yeah, I don't have to rehash everything I talked about in that video, but those are like kind of highlights. And
well, it's interesting. Rune Rostad in the chat, I guess he has a Z10 as well, and he says that he does a lot of trail riding, and he has not seen that behavior that you're seeing, which is, that's odd. So you're not seeing it lose calibration, Rune. You're not seeing it tip forward or backwards on you.
Well, it's good to know. It's all data points, right? Some people, just like Ian has crappy mileage on his L, and you had a problem, so maybe I have a kind of a not so great wheel in terms of the calibration.
That's weird. But I can't believe that they can't somehow allow you to change your angle just for personal preference. Some people like a 1 or 2 degree tilt up or down or whatever. Right. So.
I've tried, but it's like it bites against you. It doesn't. As soon as you hit that calibration button, it starts moving, even if you hold it in a offset position.
That's crazy. All right. So, but overall, you still love the Z10. You just have.
Oh yeah, it's my. I'm riding a lot. Like last night, went with my wife to a local town here. They had one of these. Kind of like town center, they closed it off. They had different bands playing and food and all that kind of stuff. So I took my wheel. I just because I'm addicted to wheels, I have to ride it everywhere. So my wife drove there, and then I rode there and walked around with it a while. And I took the Z10. I've been wondering. I keep telling people the ACM2 is my favorite all around generic wheel. The problem is I have so many wheels now that I'm not limited to one wheel. And if I was, I would pick the ACM2 because of the range and all overall performance. But since I have so many wheels, I haven't actually been riding the ACM2 that much. And the wheel I gravitate to right now, it continues to be the Z10. It's just such a fun wheel. And generic and just all around so fun, and low. I really love the low speed handling. It's
so stable at low speeds. Yeah,
it's closest to the AC, the M10-3 in terms of pure. Not have to think about riding real slow. Like you know, I mentioned before. You know, I ride around local town, typical small town environment where you have stoplights and you come and you have to wait, and I love to just kind of do little 360s and back and forth and stuff like that, and you can do that in any wheel, but you're going to be working your butt off if you try and do that like an M Super. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be a leisurely effort to be doing that, and M10-3 I can just mindlessly just you know how that is, and the Z10 is just like that, yet it's an 18-inch wheel, but I can just mindlessly play around slow speed. So I love the Z10.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, someone was asking, referring back to the 18L, and I saw this going up in chat, and I didn't mention it, but I guess there's plans that they're going to be releasing a 1,500 plus watt hour 18L, and they're asking if that would be appealing to you or me. And my answer, of course, is yes. More range is always good.
Yeah, me too. I of course, I have 3 18-inch wheels now. And like I said before, I'm not going to buy any more wheels for about a year anyway. So I heard that too, and I forget who, but it might have been Ulf who said October. I just don't believe it.
No.
Might be next summer when they release one. I don't know, but definitely it would appeal to me.
Interesting.
That would be direct competition for like an M Super.
Totally.
I mean, that'd be fantastic.
Because you got range. You know, that would be in the Gateway League, so that would be very interesting with King Song quality. So that would be that'd be cool.
And maybe more range.
Yeah.
Because you're reporting great range and.
Mm-hmm.
And my KS14S, by the way, also has really good range. I looked at my logs, and the last time I did a range test on that, I got 40 miles.
Wow.
That's 840 watt hour battery.
Wow.
And I had 20% battery left. 40 miles.
That's pretty incredible. Wow.
I was really impressed because on my 14C, I would get in the low 30s. It was more typical. So maybe King Song has some magic sauce that their wheels are definitely more efficient.
That's very interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Tim Petty was asking, would an M10-3 work in San Francisco? I don't know. Tim bought a bunch of stamps for me. Do you mean as far as being able to handle the hills? I would think so. I mean, it's a torquey little wheel.
There's a guy, you should check out the San Francisco, the Bay Area Facebook group. There's guys there that have M10-3s.
Oh, really?
It would have no problem. Unlike the Z10, M10-3 has amazing amount of torque. And it would have zero problems with San Francisco. It's only the, you know, it's a small wheel, and it's probably maybe not the best suburban wheel for commuting. I always tell people it's a fun wheel, but I don't know if I'd like to commute 10 miles on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done 10 mile rides on it, and it's a little tough, but it's doable.
Yeah,
but it's definitely not a great open road cruiser or anything like that. That's not what it's made
right.
for.
But if you just want to book around San Francisco for half a dozen miles here or there. I think the M10-3 is a great wheel.
And Marty, they're saying here that the 18L is available for pre-order with the 1554 watt hour battery, delivery before Christmas. Wow.
Hey guys, that's
that'd be nice.
I'm just gonna say I'll believe it when I see it shipping from e-wheels. Okay.
True.
But,
true.
Hey.
Yep.
I'm all for it. I think
great.
It'd be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all indications are 18L is a great wheel. And I rode it for a little bit. basically just kind of reminded me of a big version of a 16S. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, great wheel.
Yep.
I just have too many wheels. That's why I just don't have one.
You do.
That's all. Nothing against it.
So, Marty, that leads into a good segue because you said the 18L is a good wheel. But now, from what I'm hearing, you think the V10 is not such a good wheel. And
no.
let me show people why you may say that, because I have this ready to go. All right, so this is why Marty and others may think that a Z10 is not such a great wheel. Let's see if this
not works. The Z10.
Oh, I'm V10. Sorry. I'm very sorry. Yeah, V10F. So let's do this. Let's do this. Darn it. Okay, this might not be perfectly centered, but I think you'll get the idea.
There, guys.
Good enough.
Well, I phoned the company because I said there's been a recoil on them because the battery's got water.
There's a V10 running.
Can you see them?
This happened maybe a day or two ago. Like, just happened.
Yeah.
And very sad. There's a link to that in the forum anyway. It's probably spreading like wildfire. All over the internet now. So that's the third instance that we know about of a V10 burning up. And this is the first, I think this is the first one we actually have a video of it.
Yeah. It's a pretty good
I
burn.
Don't know. But, you know, to me, I've only been involved in this EUCs for a couple of years, but this is only, and there's been instances of wheel fires. I have a video of the ACM burning up, and I dissected one, right?
Yeah.
But that tumbled down a steep, jagged rock path into the ocean, submerged in water.
Salt water,
it was, but here we have three instances that we know about of V10s burning up, not apparently under, like, they had crashed or anything. I don't know, that's scary. And to me,
I
think about that a little bit, right?
Right.
You know, we have wheels in our house, and what happens if they go up in flames?
But it's very remotely in the back of anyone's mind until you see something like that. I mean,
yeah. So I personally, I ride Gateway wheels, right? So I'm open to risk, but I don't think I'd want to have a V10 in my house right now.
If I read the background, I think I read the background of that on the forums, and it said, like, you know, because there's this whole issue with the V10 being not sealed properly, it's not water resistant. And the guy said he didn't, like, ride it in the rain, but he rode it on, like, wet roads, maybe. And that was enough to, you know, cause the short, I guess, that started the whole thing. Is that accurate? I think that's what I read.
Yeah, the part of that just seems so strange. I don't know. But, you know, the Gateway wheels, obviously King Song is better the way they protect their batteries. But Gateway wheels, they're just in that shrink wrap, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not like, and if you look at the batteries, water can get into them. Now, I've never heard of a Gateway wheel in my experience going up in flames, and people ride those in water and rain. And I saw a monster, Jeff, local guy that I ride with periodically. I saw his monster got fully submerged in a river for about 10 seconds as he wildly pulled it out. It stopped working, and we opened up the panel, and after about 15 minutes, 30 minutes of kind of airing it out, drying it a bit, it started running.
He
rode it for another 20 miles that day.
Hmm.
So it just makes me think, I wonder how they've packaged the batteries that has made them susceptible to burning. It seems odd to me. And under riding in damp conditions, that's enough to cause a fire.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy.
But so the bottom line is, me personally, I would not own a V10 unless, I'd have to have some amazing assurance that they, whatever they did, spend fully fixed. And I don't know. To me, that there are so many alternatives right now, quality alternatives, that I just wouldn't waste any energy trying to, feel comfortable about it. I just wouldn't buy one. If you have one, what are you going to do? You're going to keep it? You're going to just, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Tough position. Yeah. What do you think, Duff? Would you?
No, I definitely wouldn't buy one at this point. And it's a shame. But I'd be very, very interested in the physics of this, like what is happening that would cause that, how would some water get to a spot that is actually triggering it? It must be shorting the pack somehow, it's just shorting out the whole pack. So I don't know, but
such a tiny amount of water apparently too, right? They're not even riding them in rain.
No, but I mean, how does InMotion fix this? I mean, it sounds like they have potential time bombs now sitting out there. I mean, how do they fix that? There's a lot of liability sitting out there.
And then people are, it's easy to say, that's a particular generation of V10. But, that's how does the average guy know what version of do I have the good version of the V10?
Right.
It must totally suck for InMotion. I feel for him, but the whole V10 is turning out to be a little before my time. But like the 9-bot,
the P,
yeah, apparently.
Mm-hmm. They kept blowing the system boards.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Maybe it's gonna end up being like 2 or 3 years from now. We're gonna be looking back. Ah, yes, the V10. That was a botched wheel that they ended up pulling off the market.
But I mean, is there anything that has been offered up by InMotion as far as remediation besides like some kit to like help waterproof it somehow? Or have you heard anything else beyond that? Because that's the last thing that I heard.
No, just the kit or the people getting their wheels back that they fixed.
Hmm.
But the problem is the wheel manufacturers they're Chinese. They're in China by and large. They seem to ignore us.
Mm-hmm.
At least in the West, right? We never know what they're thinking. We get very little. InMotion's been pretty good, but they're not great in my mind. There's a lot of pulling of teeth to try and truly get information from them. And this fire just happened. Were we ever getting feedback? Like, okay, this is what happened, guys, and this is what we haven't even gotten that information from them for what they're fixing right now. All they're saying is this remediation effort they're doing, they haven't actually told us, like you just said, what are the physics of it? What in these battery packs
what's
actually
causing it? Mm-hmm.
Causing the go up in flames? They haven't told us that. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're going to tell us much more.
Hmm. Yeah, for liability reasons, probably. You have to be careful what they say publicly, I'm sure.
I feel for you guys who have V10s, but
keep them dry.
I'm personally not going to recommend people buy them. It's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Just one guy's opinion.
Yeah, no, well, I would echo that opinion, really, to be honest with you, at this point. And I don't remember, Marty, when we did our last stream 2 weeks ago, you had your MSX already, but you only had it for a short period of time, right? You haven't.
I think I've had it for a month or.
Oh, okay, that long? Okay. I lose track of,
like that.
Of your wheel purchases.
I got to check 200 to 300 miles on it. Actually, I've been riding it.
Mm-hmm.
I rode it today. I rode it for took it out for a 40-mile ride in the morning.
Oh, I saw you mention that, and you're using. I didn't even know you had a seat for your MSX.
Yeah, e-wheel. I don't know. I'm gonna guess it doesn't come from Gantway automatically because they haven't done that in the past. But
mm-hmm.
if you buy the wheel from e-wheels. The seat comes with it.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. Today I rode more with the seat. Getting the hang of it now.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta have to ride it for a while. But I can't be riding and then sit down. it's like you have to have, you have to be able to kind of grab the wheel to be able to, you know, position your butt in the right position.
Like when I do it in the Monster, I kind of grab the handle and kind of scoot myself around. Yeah.
And I can't, the MSX kind of seems awkward for me I haven't found a way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't do that, but from sitting to standing, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of fun to be riding like a 40-mile ride. So about mm-hmm. twice I sat down for a couple miles
mm-hmm.
and just rode seated. And yeah, it's fun. I like the way that the seat looks on the wheel. So I just keep it on the, I should have brought it in here, but I put a couple short dowel pieces in the seat so that they kind of go underneath the handle. Otherwise, the seat really just will fly off the wheel.
Oh, the friction fit isn't that tight?
No.
Oh.
And people, at least one person's lost it. He actually has a video, Kevin from San Francisco. He lost it. He went back. He was videoing his ride. So yeah. He posted the video that you could see it pop off, but he didn't actually notice it for miles. So when he went back, it was gone.
Oh, wow.
And it's pretty clear when you ride it that it could pop off real easy. So I just put the couple dowels in there and it's keeps it really secure. It won't fly off on me. So
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm becoming a seated rider. I have a big beefy seat I bought for my Monster. I still have to figure out a way to...
What, like a bike seat kind of thing again?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I bought a little one, and I have a couple videos on that.
I remember that, yeah.
That didn't feel too good.
No.
It
looked dangerous.
Yeah. So I bought a $30, big, puffy, big seat, and I just have to figure out a way to mod it, and I just haven't been motivated to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to, because, it's kind of fun to ride seated every once in a while.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate it on longer rides. It because I have a lot more foot issues than you do, and it definitely helps me, break the miles up a little bit. It's cool. I see you also mentioned that your side pads and your MSX are totally disintegrating at this point.
Not totally, but they're well on the way. And I haven't. I'm trying to think. I'm not sure if I dropped the MSX yet. If I did, it's only been once, maybe, or very mild.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're clearly just getting ripped.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a guy that grabs the wheel much. So, as we all know, they're the crappiest pads ever put on any wheel made to date. I don't know. Gatway just they got to screw up something on every wheel. Mm-hmm. There's got to be something that they they screw up on it.
Well, I saw that they already have a better version out, but I assume they're not grandfathering in people and providing them with new pads, the ones that are already sold.
I don't think Gatway is, but once again, eWheels, Jason said he's going to be providing them to
customers. Oh, I thought it was a Gatway
customers.
Thing. Okay.
That's what he said. That reminds me, I wanted just to mention that from Matthias, he makes the mud guards and he makes the side side pad extensions for the M Super,
the bolsters
V3 and the M Super X. And I bought the ones for the M Super V3 that use my existing pads, and I have a video on that too. And it definitely, it's a plus when you're climbing hills. It really makes it much more comfortable to leverage pads. And I bought some for my MSX, which I'm expecting to get them any day now. He shipped them out a week ago. And those he's providing with his own silicone pads.
Yeah.
And they look really cool.
Yeah, he's really made a big investment in like his equipment. Like he has two 3D printers that were cut in, transferred into laser cutters basically. That he's doing engraving and cutting with them. It's quite an operation.
The only thing that bugs me is that he's a little bit like Gatway.
Yeah.
In a quality way, but you know how Gatway, you buy a wheel from Gatway, and 2 weeks later they put out a newer version of the wheel.
Yes.
Right. So that's what he's doing.
Constantly.
You know, I bought the side pads for him with the you know his silicone pads, and then like a week later says, oh look, I can engrave images on them. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be offering that as a service. You can provide me an image and I can engrave it on the side, you know. Great, I'm just balling. And then he's putting out a new version of the Monster mud guard.
Yes, I'm testing it for him actually.
And I just bought a Monster mud guard from him. That's coming in the same package. I just bought one, and now yesterday he announces, oh look, new
He's always iterating on his designs. He just, you know, it's a good thing that he's always trying to make it better. But I can understand too that it can be, you know, now you got the old model, you know.
Yeah, so I spent about $90 with them mm-hmm. a couple weeks ago. So I got the extension pads for them Super X. I got a mud guard for the M Super X. I already have a mud guard for my M Super V3. And then I got the mud guard for the Monster. I like to ride the bottom of the LA rivers, the cement rivers.
And yeah, I've seen a lot of those videos of yours.
Periodically, there's puddles and stuff you have to ride through. And if I have the mud guards on those particular wheels, now I can just, like today, I have the mud guard on the MSX and I could just cruise through those puddles and it's great.
No, that's cool.
No mess.
Yeah, while we're talking 3D printed EUC accessories right behind me, can you see that? There we go. That's one of the I had to make an extra wide stand for Z10s.
Oh yeah.
So it's 19 centimeters in between, so a Z10 tire fits in there. And like I put something on the electric unicycle group on Facebook, and then they were sold. I had like three of them, and I sold them immediately because I guess there's pent up demand for people trying to figure out what to do with their Z10s, so I have one more there. It's actually on the store now, so if you want to grab it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so they seem to work pretty well.
I'm curious, is it like a labor of love with you right now, or is it actually, is it profitable?
I mean, no.
Like you're going to quit your day job.
Minimally. If I actually ran the numbers between time and expense, and just all these ancillary expenses that come into it, if any money I make will probably be very minimal, and I would probably stop doing it. So I don't run those numbers. No, it's fun.
So you don't run that.
No, I don't run the numbers. It's fun, but no, I don't make a lot, so it doesn't matter.
I wonder if Matias, he's buying these more printers and stuff. You know, I wonder.
No, he's doing pretty well. Well, I think he charges more for stuff than I do, and he's. He has a lot more experience in 3D printing than I do, so he has everything optimized. It takes him a lot less time to make stuff. It's funny. I talked about this in my video today that you didn't see yet, Marty. But I was talking about how long it takes me to make these things. And like for example, the Z10 stand. If I do my design that looks like a wheel, it takes a total of 106 hours of print time. And 172 meters of filament to make one of those stands.
You're kidding.
That's how much.
106 hours.
For everything, yep. For the three parts, a total of 106 hours.
For one.
So, yeah. luckily, I don't pay my 3D printers by the hour.
I don't know. That seems like you're not selling for enough. I mean,
I'm probably not. But I need to do things to try to make it take less time too. There's some optimizations I need to do because it is crazy how long some of those things take to print.
And don't forget, you know, you need to pay for the hardware. You're
I do.
I assume you're kind of assuming that the printer is free, but if you do it right.
Well, I kind of look at it that way, yeah.
Yeah.
we don't factor in the printer costs, you know. And yeah, and filament costs. There's so many costs, and all the shipping costs, and you know, so.
Well, but it's when you do your taxes, I assume you can write off. Maybe you can write off your hobby room too.
Oh, hey,
that's my question.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I could write off. So yeah.
Do you? I hope you have a door you can close, so you're not like all week long.
Yeah, they can't get noisy. It's in the hobby room, which is one of our bedrooms, and it's on the opposite side of our bedroom. So no, you don't hear it. But yeah, 3D printers can get very loud. They have a tendency to have fans that are very loud. So
okay.
if it was next door, it would not be fun, for sure.
Okay, good.
All right, now I'm looking at this second video that you sent me, Marty. I'm wondering if people are going to hear this or not. I want to see if they can hear this audio.
Which one? Oh,
The Rocky video.
Yeah, I just thought this was a funny video. This guy has I love these videos where people, they're so happy with some of their wheels. You know, it's great to show your enthusiasm, right? And this guy has an M Super X that... pretty sure it's M Super X, and he's,
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and he's carrying up. I don't know if he's actually in Philadelphia, but he's carrying up the steps.
No, he is. Yeah, he is, because I'm from that area. It? Yeah.
Okay.
let me see if this works.
Okay.
I don't hear the audio. Darn it.
No audio.
Let me see if I refresh this. Yeah, oh yeah.
There he goes, carrying it up.
Mm-hmm.
You can just imagine he's doing this to the sound of Rocky.
It's the sound of Rocky. That might not be so. That does not look like dirt museum to me.
Are you from that area?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's not dark. No. I believe he's just simulating. very simulating. And I'm not sure why I don't have audio, but okay.
That's a great video, though. I got to check out of that.
That is good. All right, let's see. So, Marty, you have a lot more stuff to talk about than I did.
Well, along with that video, that I encourage people to create videos like that.
Sure.
It's fun, you know, to show your enthusiasm, your love for these wheels, right? And
mm-hmm.
I don't know, I get a kick out of watching them.
Hey, I love your video, sure. You hugging your M10-3. That's one of my favorite pictures.
Yeah.
You're very attached to it.
Yeah. So people should do that, you know?
Sure.
But along those lines, you know, Ian, Speedy Feet, right? He's got this video competition going on, you know, kind of competition. He wants people to submit, I think they're 30, supposed to be 30 second videos, though I think the first few have been like minutes long. But just like a video on like why, I forget what the theme is, but something along the lines of, why do you ride or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little video, right? And create it, post it, and he's doing a little competition. You know, maybe you can win a T-shirt or a hat or something.
That was a good idea. I saw that.
I'm gonna create one.
Oh, good. Yeah, I could probably come up with some good ideas too. Actually, I should think about that. Yeah,
should do it. All
right.
I'm gonna do it with my Monster, since that's only unaltered wheel that I still have that I bought from him.
Right. No, I only bought one wheel from him, and it's my M Super. So yeah, maybe I'll use that one.
Well, wait, you have two, right?
From him?
No, yeah.
No, I only got my M Super from him.
You didn't get your Monster from him?
I got that from Jason.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we got the Monster about the same time. I got mine from Ian.
No, I got my M Super for like $1,200 when the exchange rate was really good, but that's the only thing I ever got from Ian.
Oh, so we bought the RM Supers at the same time,
yes,
pretty much from him. I kind of remember us having that.
Well, you told me about it. You told me about the, you know, how quickly you got it and how the price was so good. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, and then it was later. I mean, I think Maybe I helped convince you to get the monster from my ride. I don't know.
Probably, yeah. You've convinced me to do a lot of things. For some reason.
What are people saying in the...
Well, they, first of all, they could hear that audio. For some reason, I can't hear it, but they can hear it when I...
Oh, so, okay. That's good. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Fun video, so...
Now, I see, Marty, that you're talking about getting one of those Insta360 cameras.
Like, yeah.
There's quite a few people that have them nowadays.
I know. I pretty much decided that's what I'm going to get because the GoPro Fusion, by all indications, are that has the superior video quality. And from what I've seen, that's really true. But the post-processing is still arduous.
Really?
On that guy, and it just, I don't want to, it's hard enough now, you know, spending the time making videos. I don't want to spend, you know, hours waiting for all this 360 processing, and with this Insta 360 camera, looks like it's much quicker.
Oh, it is, really?
Yeah, so I figure, I really like the quality of the GoPro, but it's 2018. I suspect sometime, maybe by this time next year, there's going to be some kind of 8K quality type or much higher resolution cameras available. Because right now, the Insta360 and the Rilo, I think those two are kind of comparable.
Mm-hmm.
And they really have a great workflow. And I think that's going to put force competition for like GoPro and Garmin, who make similar products. I think next year we'll have better options, better software, and I'll probably buy a nicer one then. But until then, I'd kind of like to play with those 360s. They're cool, right? Some of the ones you've seen.
Yeah. It seems like, I guess it's easy to shoot with that thing and still have it just be a conventional non-360 video, because, like, you know, Eddie Moy's done a bunch of them, and the stuff he's posting to YouTube is not 360. It's you know, conventional. It's conventional view, because I would imagine if you process it in 360, the files are probably huge, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, my intention, I'm probably going to post some true 360s, but my intention is to post. Not to do the 360s, to do what everyone else has been doing, where you just capture the video footage, but then you can, in the software, you can change the views and do all that kind of stuff, right?
Right.
And I'm gonna, like Eddie, I'm gonna get
a 10-foot
super long
10-foot selfie stick.
I'm gonna try a 15-foot pole, see how far back I can go.
Yeah, you should. Why not? That'd be great. I wonder how big you can legitimately get a selfie stick. That's 10-foot was pretty amazing, as is.
I've actually seen something popped up in my Amazon suggested list that an actual, just about a 10-foot long, selfie stick. I think Eddie's using some pole that he converted, right? But
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just looked it up on Amazon. So those are about $300.
Yeah, in that price range.
Mm-hmm. Not awful. I'm sure the GoPro model is much more.
Yeah, it's like $600 to $700.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a huge difference.
And like I said, and then people say, if you really want to do the post-processing, you need Adobe Premiere. Okay, well, now you're talking $20 a month, every month for the rest of your life.
Yeah, no thanks.
Because, you know, Adobe has that subscription model, which I despise.
Yep.
I just don't feel like putting that right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like putting out that kind of money. I'll wait to see what happens next year for their higher quality. Everything keeps getting better, right?
Well, see, that's the thing, too. Like, the extra resolution stuff is nice, but, like, in YouTube normally, like, if you do a 4K video, it's very hard to actually see it come through the quality on the YouTube broadcast as you would see locally. And those in the files, like a 4K file is just huge. I mean, your file size gets huge, the processing time, you know, exponentially gets bigger. So I do all my stuff in 1080 still, just because it's too big.
Yeah, I do all mine in 4K.
Do you really?
Posting. Yeah, if you look at all my vast majority of my videos, they're all 4K. And
like, how big is a 30-minute 4K file? It's got to be massive.
It's about like a 30-minute 8 gigs or something like that.
Oh, that'll be more than that. Wow.
I do have to, for a long video like that, I do have to change the bit rate. Otherwise, it could be like a 20-gigabyte file, which is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But still, they look, my shorter videos, and I pump up the bit rate, and they look pretty good.
No, they look good.
If you have the bandwidth to actually play it at 4K, it definitely looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like that video I posted on my Z10, where I'm complaining
mm-hmm.
at the beach, right? That was shot in 4K.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Looks pretty good if you play it at 4K.
Okay. No, I did not know that. Oh, Marty Hunk is in here now. I guess he got in here late. He's upset that he missed the ASMR. Yeah, Hunk, we did an extended ASMR. Yeah, we assumed you were in the audience, so we did first thing. We just did ASMR. It just sounded like robotic voices for some reason, but that was actually ASMR.
Oh, perfect. You missed it.
Yep. Yeah, it was really good. You have to play back. Yeah, you can check it out tomorrow. People are asking about my shirt. No, it's not a hamster. I think it's a hamster. This is a Cliff would know this. Cliff Woods. This is actually a World of Warcraft shirt that Cindy made for me. Yeah, it's a video game I play. So yeah, handmade. It's a lion. It's not a hamster. Come on, guys. And this is Alliance. It's a long story, but yeah, very nerdy.
You're still in the World of Warcraft. Boy, that game's been out forever.
It's been out since 2005. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And there's still an amazing amount of people that still play it, and it costs like, it's a subscription model, so you'd hate it. It's like $14-15 a month.
Well, for game, it's kind of different because mm-hmm. you can just stop when you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. A little different, but yeah. I hate to say it, but I lost a few years out of my life playing video games about maybe 20 years ago. I was big into Doom and Quake. And
me too. Yeah, Painkeep. You ever hear of Painkeep? You remember Painkeep? It was a Quake mod.
No.
Okay, that was a really good mod. Yeah, I used to play a lot of first-person shooters like that as well. Not really anymore. It doesn't appeal to me anymore, but...
Yeah, I lost some of my life playing those. But mm-hmm.
Were you good at it or not? Or you just enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Were you actually good at those games, or did you just liked playing them?
I was pretty good, but
it's tough.
And again, I was into Doom. That was before they got into the multiplayer.
Yeah.
And then it started getting with Quake.
Mm-hmm.
Started getting better and better, the multiplayer, and I'm sure it's much better now, but I kind of dropped out of that scene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of thinking about that now. I just happened to see they were inundated with ads all the time. Apparently Quake just released a new...
Yeah, there's a new version of it.
New version.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Tempted to download it, so download for free, and I'm tempted to download just to see what it's like right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's funny. That's the model now for a lot of games, is they'll give them to you very inexpensively or for free, but then in the game they have all these little, they call them microtransactions, where you can buy things to make your person look better or just all these cosmetic things, and these companies make a fortune on it. It's amazing how much people will pay just to make their virtual self look better. It's amazing. Oh my God. It's crazy. Let's see. Oh,
Duke Nukem. That's funny. Duke Nukem. Yeah, you play that too, right?
I played Duke Nukem. Almost anything you can imagine from 20, 30 years ago, I've probably played it.
Yeah.
And it's funny, those first-person shooter games, it used to be that you could only play them like if you had other people on your immediate network. So, like, at my old job, I used to work at a bank up north, and we would, a bunch of us in our department, we would get some LAN games going, and if anyone saw us, we said we were doing, like, network stress testing. You know, it was a performance.
Yeah, right.
We were testing latency across the network.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was
fun. I remember that, too. Mm-hmm. A little, my version of that, too, going at some places where I was.
Yeah. Well, I think, like, the first game like that was... Castle Wolfenstein. It was a very, very basic version of it, and that kind of was the predecessor to all those other games.
Right. Okay. Let's see.
I saw the notes, Marty. It's interesting. You mentioned that you stopped your charging in ride logs. Why is that? I thought that was like something you were into.
Oh, yeah. Let me see if I can get... Yeah, so I have, you can see, it shows up, it's one of my logbooks.
Oh, I didn't realize that this was a handwritten thing. I thought this was something that you had, like, electronically on the computer. I didn't realize it was a...
No.
Oh, wow.
I'm kind of into, one of my failures, I'm into paper and pens, fountain pens and stuff. So I like to write. I like to handwrite stuff.
That's cool.
So yeah, so I'd write log entries. I have two books for all my, you know, again, I have 10 wheels, right? So you know, keep track of everything. And besides making notes of my, yeah, I wouldn't make a log if I'm going down to the store, but you know, I'm going to take a 40-mile ride and make a log. Now, here's an example of my, charging log, one of my wheels.
Wow.
Does that show up?
Yeah, I can see it totally, yeah.
But, yeah, it just kind of struck me a couple weeks ago that I don't really make use of this information. and I found it was kind of a weird psychological thing. I wouldn't want to take a wheel. Let's see, I might want to take my M Super to the park, maybe a two-mile ride, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I wouldn't want to do that because I think, it's going to mess up my, do I want to fully charge it when I get back? And I just decided I'm not going to pay attention to charging anymore. I'm not going to pay attention to how many miles I ride. I'm just going to pick any wheel I want to ride. I'm just going to ride it. When I get back, I'm just going to plug it in. I don't care if I only rode it 3 miles or I rode it 20 miles. I'm just going to ride them, whatever I want, ride it, plug it in, and just don't worry about it. And I get more use out of my wheels. The only thing I'm going to keep, I'm going to maintain I have a master ride log. So I'm just going to make a note that kind of like when I ride a wheel, I'll just jot down, I wrote this wheel on a date.
Mm-hmm.
That, again, only because I have 10 wheels. So I kind of want to...
You're simplifying.
I don't want to leave a wheel like, neglected for too long. I can look and say, oh, I haven't ridden this wheel like in 2 months. Maybe I should give it a little love.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I had no idea that you were going to that degree. Wow. I thought you were just, you had like a spreadsheet or something. You were just typing in some bare bones. So you write your thoughts of the ride or, you know, things that struck you during the ride or?
No, not that much detail, but here I have a log 2016. At lunch, I rode to the beach and then north to Venice Beach. I rode for 20 miles at about for 2 hours. I'd write stuff like that. Mm.
Put that on eBay. Someone might buy that. I don't know. It could be valuable someday. You never know.
but what I recommend this, and it's in my YouTube channel in my list of apps and stuff. There's an Android app called Geo Tracker.
Mm-hmm.
That's Geo and then Tracker. And it's not actively developed anymore, but it works perfectly and it's still available. And you can download it various places, including from my Dropbox. And it's a great, incredibly reliable app. It's a mapping app, right? So you can... I just hit record when I go for a ride and hit stop it afterwards, and it gives me all the statistics of the ride. It has a map of the ride, and then you can, I export that. So I can import that into Google Earth,
mm-hmm.
you know, so you can see. And that's super, super low friction, you know, no effort, just start and stop the log, and then you can write a couple notes, like in the summary, that this ride is with my Z10, or whatever.
No, that's cool.
So I'll continue to use that.
Hunka says he wants you as his accountant, Marty. Sounds like you're very detail oriented.
Well, I am an engineer, and I think that maybe it goes with the territory.
I think you're right. Someone was asking about that you had a Runtastic log that you were using as well at some point.
That was in the early days, like 2016, early 17, I think I was using that. And then I can't remember who turned me onto this GeoTracker. It might have been Matthias. Someone in Europe, you know, because periodically you see stuff like this, right? And you ask, oh, what app are you using? So someone told me about this, and I haven't looked back. The thing is just fantastic. Again, it's on my, if you go to my YouTube channel, any of my recent videos, just look in the list, and you'll see a download link for the GeoTracker. And if you're on Android, I would use it. It's a really great app.
No, it sounds interesting. Okay, Marty, I'm looking at our video list. There's one other video that we were talking about. Actually, there's two of them. So let me
Is that the jumper?
The jumper. Little kid.
Yeah.
It's so Joey's kid, right?
Joey. Which I know lived a little bit with. He's in San Diego. Relatively close to me. And he's, I'm not sure how many kids he has, but at least one of them rides. But yeah, you're going to show it right here. And fantastic jump, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he looks totally in control as well. And that's him doing it on a Kingsong. I don't know if that's a 16S or a 14D, but there's also one of him doing it on an MCM5.
Wasn't that just
or an MCM4.
That video, the jump and everything. Yeah.
Yep.
And the landing.
It's very, very precise.
All right.
No big deal. Must be nice to be fearless.
You couldn't pay me to do that, try that.
No. I mean, it's he's probably a good foot and a half, 2 feet in the air at some point. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's youth, right? That's the kind of things you have. You're fearless.
Exactly. No fear whatsoever.
But yeah, I really like that. So guys, we're thinking about doing this is a thought that, you know, we do this every couple weeks, and maybe we'll do a kind of have a best of the wed over the last couple weeks of, you know, maybe videos that we think are interesting, and just because not all of us see everything, right? And we might be able to highlight things for you guys and that you might have missed.
Yeah, it'd be a good idea. And you could, I mean, someone could you know, email that to us if you wanted. Email it to Marty, email it to me.
Yeah.
And yeah, we can include it in the upcoming show.
For no sure. Guarantees we'll play it, but if it, no. You know.
And nothing X-rated, Hunka.
Yeah.
No ASMR videos either.
So
did Hunka educate you on what ASMR is, Marty? Or did we talk about that last time? I don't remember.
No, but I posted. Probably haven't seen it, but I we won't go into it now. But I know what it is.
Okay.
I'm right. Actually.
So that's good enough.
that actually affects. I'm actually. I am affected by that.
Really?
I'm one of those people. Yeah.
Really? That I read about it, and there are certain people. I mean, it's like a physical reaction that they have to that. It's very interesting.
Yeah. If you don't know what it, if you haven't experienced it, it must look like really bizarro. And most of those, to my most of the videos actually don't do anything for me. Not like I spend a lot of time looking at them, but periodically I've dipped into those things, and but. If you, I wonder what the percentage in the population are affected by it, but it's a real thing.
No, it is.
And it's not, and it's not sexual in any way, which some people might think it. It's not a, yeah, and something you can't really explain, but it's a physical reaction, and it's.
Is that one? Benjamin asked about it. It stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, and it's just it's like a response to just I don't even know how to describe the noises. It's just it's very there's different types, obviously, but it's something right. that, like Marty said, that certain people just it actually causes a like a physical reaction to the sound. It's really interesting. I only heard about it in like the last 6 months or so.
Yeah, it's something that I would experience periodically in my life, my whole life. But of course,
certain sounds would trigger you, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And like someone vacuuming maybe in the distance or in another room or in a building or weird things that you get this sensation. And of course, you know, like most things in life, you assume other people
right.
experience the same thing, so I didn't think it was anything unique. I just thought it was interesting, and then I don't know, some years ago, half a dozen years ago or something, I saw that on YouTube, and what is this? And then that's when mm-hmm. found out there's a name for it, and all these bizarro videos that people are. I guess must be making YouTube money, making all these
things. Yeah, well, I saw like a YouTube channel that was nothing but that kind of stuff, and she had like over 100,000 subscribers. I mean, it's...
I know.
It's crazy.
Bizarro.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah. But I wonder, like I have a thing where, like, I can't sleep in a dead silent room. I have to have some sort of white noise. I wonder if that's classified as the same thing or if that's something different. But, like, a dead quiet room I can't sleep in. Drives me crazy.
Well, it might be some other
condition
problem, but, yeah, condition, but I don't think it has anything to do with this.
Yeah,
we all have problems, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe.
We definitely all have problems. Definitely. So, okay.
Let's see, what else are we looking at the list?
I don't want to make sure I didn't miss anything because I was jumping back and forth here. Someone talking about the MSX pads that eWheels is sending, saying that they're too thick.
Yeah, yeah. They look thick. That's right. They look more along the lines of the older Gateway, pads,
yeah.
like on the Monster and the ACM and M Super. You know, those thick ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark said that, he's been like just buying like a. Insole material for shoes. And he says that works really well, I guess. Makes sense.
Well, the one that Mattia is putting on his looks on the thin side, so
yeah,
that
definitely.
Should be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm looking here. I don't know. I think we're pretty caught up, Marty. Who's the best? Jan Beck is asking, who's the best retailer in U.S. for wheels? Well, I don't know of a lot of them anymore. Besides Jason at eWheels, I'm trying to think in the U.S. you have Nevin from Tech Toys.
Right.
You have Jason from eWheels. And I don't know. Who else is there, Marty?
I think there's City Wheel.
Oh, City Wheel. Yeah. Okay.
I think he's...
New York City.
He's like Nevin, I think. He's more of a local dealer supplying New York guys. And
yeah, I forgot about him.
So, there's what I call bit players or much smaller... Mark, I don't think anyone can really compare it to eWheels. I mean, Jason, he's really taking it to the next level. You know, it's really like, professional,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, I think he has the lion's share of the business in the United States, I would say.
I mean, I assume you get eWheels ads, right? Periodically on your
In the browser? Computer. Yeah. Yeah, they pop up all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They still got to work on that though, because it's like the classic. You buy something, and then for the next week you get ads to that thing that you already bought, right?
Yeah, the little cookies on your computer kind of feeds those ads.
Somehow they need to capture the fact that you bought the thing, so they don't need to waste their money.
Yeah, so you can like hit a button.
Yeah. So definitely e-wheels in the United States.
Yeah, and as far as overseas, I mean, you have Ian, and I don't, man, I know there's a bunch of other dealers in the EU, but the only prominent one that I know about is Ian. I know there's, well, there's a Gotway France, right? There's a dealer in France that I guess deals heavily in Gotway, but.
And Germany, there's a dealer there.
Yeah.
I kind of know who it is, but I would never attempt to pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
So it begins with an R, I think.
And in Canada, there's a, is it called Ride the Glide?
I've heard that, but yeah. I can't.
I think he's a dealer in Canada. I've seen some of his videos. And, I remember him doing reviews on certain wheels, so I believe he sells them as well. But I think he started as like an original Segway dealer. But he moved into EUCs and that kind of stuff. Any retail?
So is your 18L basically the wheel you're riding?
I'm riding a wheel, yeah. But like, again, if you...
You're putting out all these skateboards.
Yeah, well, I did the skateboard ride yesterday, and that was fun. But it's a lot different because a skateboard urethane wheel is a solid wheel, so you feel everything. I mean, even smallest pebbles, you're feeling it. But it was fun, and I was surprised that I got that kind of range. I had half power, probably less than half power, but after 10 miles on a little battery like that, I thought it was really good. And they're
That's disappointing, Duff, though. You don't take it to the limit. See, and Cindy was going to pick you up, so you should have just kept riding until you ran out of power. And then we would know what that wheel's range is.
I'll do that next time.
You got to do it again.
I'll do it again. It's no problem.
Run it down to empty.
It's like
when you get a new car, you really should run out of gas once, because then you really know its limits, right?
That's a good point, yeah. But what I was going to say is, and now you've never ridden an electric skateboard, Marty.
No.
But I think you would be surprised, and you would have to hold on for your life, but how torquey the motors on those things are. I am sure that it would beat any EUC off the line that's around. I mean, if you go full throttle on that thing, you better tie yourself to the board, because it really, really pulls. Really pulls.
I can totally believe it. Jason was out in California last summer with the Dell fiasco with the M Super.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to get me to, because he sells a lot of other stuff, including scooter, a lot of scooter type stuff,
right?
And or little electric bikes and stuff. And he had one out at that time that was new for him, and he was all excited about it. And I rode that around, and those things are kind of scary.
It's like a rocket. It's crazy, yeah.
I mean, it's like you just touch it and it pulls you. And so I can imagine this skateboard. I wonder why can't they make those so they're a little more of a soft start, so they don't.
Well, they have different modes, but like if you go to the top level on these things, it's just hold on. I mean, you have to be in total brace position and just hold on. If you go full throttle, I don't know that you can stay on. It pulls so hard. Like Meepo is the board that I have, and they actually just came out with, mine is called a hub motor, and it's a two-wheel drive one. The back is the drive wheels, but now they just introduced an all-wheel drive one, so the front and the back are motorized, and that thing supposedly pulls even harder. Because it's four-wheel drive, and the acceleration is just insane.
Four-wheel
drive, yeah.
I wonder why they don't. Gotway came out with one. Remember, last year.
Yeah, what happened to that thing?
But it was pressure sensitive, kind of like the. You didn't have to have a controller.
Right.
I wonder why they don't all go that route. So you don't have to,
I think it's lack of precision. There are still some boards like that that don't have controllers. I've seen them, and all the reviews I've seen is it's too flaky. It's not reliable, and depending on your situation, you want to be able to reliably stop and start. And it seems like it's too fussy with the foot placement.
But then I've heard, and maybe this isn't an issue anymore, that there can be reliability issues with the hand controller.
Oh, it can, yeah. Some of them lose connection.
Lose the signal and mm-hmm. connection, and then it stops, and then you get thrown off the wheel.
Yes, that can happen as well. Well, luckily, the combination and the board that I have seems to be a pretty well-used and established established hardware. I've never had a problem with it disconnecting or anything. But yeah, I have heard about that kind of stuff. Like it'll disconnect, or all of a sudden the brakes will lock up, and you know, you get thrown. And so, like anything, you know, there's perils. There's perils out there. But just the torque is amazing. It really is very, very torquey.
How about the one wheel, by the way? Does that have the torque like that?
It can. If again, there's 5 riding modes in the one wheel, and if you put it on the highest level, which is called Delirium. Oh wait, no. It is Delirium. That would probably out accelerate any EUC that you have. It might cut out at about 18 or 19 miles an hour, but it'll accelerate really, really hard.
Uh-huh.
So, and speaking of which, have you given any more thought to borrowing your buddy's one wheel?
No.
You have so much to keep you busy.
I don't know. I feel like a little saturated right now. I think I still need to just relax for a while, which is what I have. And
I think you're scared of getting hooked, personally.
I don't know. Hope someday, probably.
Yeah, no, you will.
No commitments right now.
Someday. So, yeah. I'd Scooter Rider asks me, he says, Duff, when reaching for something to ride, why would the Meepo be chosen over an EUC or a one wheel? I would say it's a different riding experience. You know, all three of them are different. You know, I've never ridden a snowboard, but I've been told that riding a one wheel is most akin to riding a snowboard. And skateboarding, I had very limited skateboarding experience, so this is something new to me as well. And of course, riding electric unicycles is another. It's a different physical experience. So I think it's just variety, really. And it is fun, and they can go surprisingly fast. I was averaging, you know, 16 to 19 on that ride to Dunkin' Donuts yesterday, which is comparable with mid-level EUCs.
Yeah, to me, it looks like it would just be kind of fun to, particularly for me, to, you know, where I live, to be able to go around town. Stuff.
Oh yeah. If you have the right conditions for it, you know, obviously, you know, off road is not the right condition for it, but even so, I mean, they make the boards now to have big pneumatic tires, you know, oversized air inflated tires that can go off road pretty reliably. Yeah. Actually,
I've seen something like on Sean's you know, videos that he does in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some of those. Yeah, they got these big pneumatic tires. And,
yeah, they're expensive, but they're pretty robust. Yeah, and they have like huge motors on. I don't know how fast they can go, but they can go very, very fast. As fast as most top end EUCs, actually.
One of the guys that I was, when we went up to Mount Wilson a few weeks ago, did a climb. I still have to put up the video on that, but that was where I tested my Z10. Climbing 4,600 mm-hmm. feet, but we were talking up at the top. He got to play around with some mountain bikes, which have motors.
Motor assist
mountain bikes, mm-hmm. and these must have been some high end, because he was telling me they go for like $6,000 to $8,000.
Oh my god! Wow.
But he said they were like amazing, you know, you could just climb anything with them, and you know, having the two wheels, of course, you know, mountain bikes just alone, they can go where no UC can go, just mm-hmm. because, you know, you can handle the crappiest of trail conditions,
right?
But then add a electric drive to that system, they can take you up hills and stuff. It's probably pretty fun, but
no, that'd be great.
Pricey.
Yeah, it's real pricey. Hunka was asking Marty if you had any, because I know you've kind of thrown this around, if you had any plans to get something like a Mavic.
Yeah.
Because of where you live and how scenic it is, and, you know, you could really get some
I
good,
did.
Good video.
I did, but Boy, just so much time.
It is.
To do that. See, if I, and, you know, maybe someday I'll get one, certainly not totally opposed to it, but I think they have to be used in small doses. You'll see a lot of people, they'll get a drone, right? And then the whole, half the video of them riding will be of the drone.
Right, I agree.
You know, it's more like, here's my drone, watch my drone fly, right?
Yeah, it needs to be like the spice of the video, but not the main part of it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just like, for even potentially just like a 10 or 15 second shot.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of those made, right? And that's it.
That's a lot of work for 10 or 15 seconds.
Don't spoil it. Mm-hmm. And my style of riding, I like to, what's that phrase? I don't like to make obvious that you're filming. Like, mm-hmm. People will look up at the drone when they're,
right.
The drone's filming them, and that spoils their illusion.
They're watching the controller as they're doing it and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Right. It doesn't look like they're actually just riding. It looks like they're flying a drone while they're riding.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I don't regret what I'm saying, but yeah, if I ever get a drone like that, you'll never see me looking at the drone. It'll always kind of look like just, you know, a god view looking down at me riding for, like, again, just 10 seconds of grief.
Well, have you seen the new drones? I think Ian posted that he got one of these. It's expensive. It's a couple grand maybe, but it's like a super deluxe follow me drone, basically, where you're not having to do a lot of interaction with it. It just follows you, and it has so many cameras around it that it sees obstacles, uh-huh. and intelligently moves around it and keeps you in frame. Something like that would probably be really cool, but it's a lot of money. But it does. Uh-huh. I think it's a couple grand, something like that. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's one of them.
But even the new Mavics, though, they just came out with a new version of it. They have, I think they have cameras all the way around now for obstacle avoidance, so they can see stuff to the side, to the top, to the bottom, and they are less. You know, they're probably around the $1,000 range for a Mavic. But yeah, the intelligence is getting a lot better on those.
Right.
I have one, and I just, it's yeah. like you said, I don't want the video to be all drone footage, and it's a lot of work just to put in, you know, 15, 30 seconds of video to carry the drone, get it up in the air, and you have to get it all coordinated, get it set up. It's just, right. It's a lot of work.
But yeah, I've definitely seen some of your drone footage, but it's been a long time, and I'm even wondering, have you made them where it's showing? You've shown videos of your farm, of your house, and stuff like that, right? But have you actually filmed you riding on the wheel?
We took it out to Ave Maria and the local school, and just did the test of the follow me feature. You know, where you basically have your phone attached to the controller,
okay.
showing you the live view, and then you just basically touch what you want it to follow, and it'll draw a box around it, and it somehow figures out what you look like, and then it just will follow you around. So yeah, I haven't messed with that feature, but not a whole bunch. And I'm real paranoid with I don't know if we ever talked about, like, my drone run-in that I had with the National Park Service. So I'm a little gun shy about, you never know anymore where you can't fly a drone. So now I'm curious where you ride out in California, how strict they are. Because, like, national parks, or there's a whole bunch of things that are just no-nos, basically.
Yeah, and I can imagine every park, every public place, it's like a no-drone venue. I can just imagine.
Well, it's a little bit better now, because now they've built intelligence into the software and the app that's used to fly them, where it will geofence you. So it knows your GPS coordinates. It knows if you're in a no-fly zone, and it'll tell you. And depending on how severe of a no-fly zone it is, it might totally prevent you from flying. So it's not as bad as it was, but it can still be problematic. Or you could just get someone that's grumpy and doesn't like having a drone above them, you know, regardless of where you are. So
yeah, I'm in a pretty suburban area, my house, you know, the mm-hmm. classic where we live. They're quarter acre flats thereabouts.
Okay.
And someone had a drone last year or 2 years ago. We were hearing this, you know, a classic drone sound. What is that sound? And we must have been a few houses down, and it'd be a drone, and you'd swear it's like they're looking at you or something. And mm-hmm. it's like annoying at some level.
No, it can be, definitely. Yeah, people definitely, that's the problem, is you have people that don't use common sense when they're flying them. Yeah, it's funny, I've seen a lot of those videos. Have you ever seen them where someone is rolling footage on their drone and someone shoots it out of the sky?
No.
I've seen a few of them. So they took some shotgun blasts, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did they actually catch, could you actually see the person aiming at it in the video by chance?
No, I couldn't see the person with the gun, but you could see the thing get hit clearly and go down. I've seen videos of people throwing rocks at them. You could see that, people throwing rocks at drones. So yeah, you just never know what you're gonna run into. You know, some people can be pretty disagreeable. So, but anyways, long story short, just that kind of stuff just has made me less and less eager to put my drone up. So, you know. But it is good when it's done well. I think it looks really good when it's mixed in, like you said, as a spice and not the main course of the video. I think it does add a lot.
You know, one of my favorite videos, drone videos from EOCs, is Matthias.
Mm-hmm.
He had a.
But when he crashed.
What's that?
When he did that aerial view of him crashing his ACM when he maxed out the speed. You remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah,
that was drone footage.
done it in a while, actually.
No, he hasn't.
But he had a really beautiful. I really, really liked it, and I commented to him about it at the time, and probably 2016 when it was pushed out. But it's following him really high up, and he's riding. On a trail, right, mm-hmm. in the woods, his beautiful scenic area, and then there's other sections when it's like over a lake mm-hmm. that he's riding in the path, but he had it playing to music. I know I said earlier that I didn't think they're best when they're like long videos, but this seemed like an exception. It was mm-hmm. fully dedicated to a drone shot, but it's just beautifully mm-hmm. done with the music. Very, to me, it was like a moving video. Maybe I want to get out and ride a wheel in the woods.
I think I remember that video. Yeah, it was very, very good. And I think when you're doing like shots like that, it helps to like just do have cuts in there where you're not showing just one long continuous, you know,
right.
clip. You put some cuts in there, and that actually gives you some visual diversity.
Yeah,
but he was really big into doing drone footage, but now I think he's been so consumed with his other stuff that he's doing, you know, all the 3D printing stuff. Oh, one other thing I wanted to mention to you, Marty. Did you see how Matthias ordered and I didn't know this was a thing, a no tilt back MSX board.
Really?
Yeah.
No tilt back.
There's a board that you can buy from some seller on Alibaba. That evidently the firmware has no tilt back in it, because I guess he said he's noticed above a certain speed that he starts to feel some tilt back, even though he has, you know, the alarm set, you know, only the third alarm set at the max level, but he still was feeling some tilt back. And evidently you can buy a no tilt back board on this store. I think he posted it on the Electric Unicycle guy Facebook group. Let's see if I can find it quick. So you hadn't heard about that?
No, but it does bring up a point. I've heard multiple people say that the MSX has this tilt back.
Yep.
I have never felt it. Now, I don't ride at 30 miles an hour, maybe that's a problem. Pretty much my max speed on any wheel is about 25 thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
I just won't go higher. But yeah, people comment, it's like a real gentle tilt back.
Yeah.
And apparently at much higher speeds. It sounds so funny, you know, how people complain about Gateway, you know, they're not safety conscious. They let you turn off tilt back and everything.
Yes.
And this is just so funny. Wow, you could buy a board that doesn't even have tilt back. So you can totally kill yourself.
If you look on the stream right now, I have this Thor on there.
Okay, $200.
$218 bucks, yeah. No tilt back.
For then, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a, I don't know, some AliExpress guy.
I wonder if that means, I wonder if you still have the option of turning on in the app if you want to.
It almost sounds to me like it's not even an option. I can't find it that way. So, yeah, it does exist. It's in the Electric Unicycle Guy's Facebook group. He has it listed
in
there.
Okay. Well, that'll feed the Gateway trolls, you know, that
mm-hmm.
you can kill yourself in Gateway if you want to, but
you can pay 200 extra to kill yourself.
Yeah, you can board that has no tilt, but that's funny.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yep.
I don't know. I think I'm like you. I'm not into going much faster than 25 thereabouts.
No. Yeah, there's, I don't understand the point of it really.
The consequences are just so bad at high speeds.
Yeah. You just see example after example of people, and it seems like a lot of times the people going high speeds don't bother to put on safety gear, and then that just amplifies the problem.
Yeah. What's funny, I think the fastest I've gone this fast in my Monster, I'm thinking, but extremely, very rarely if I have, but in general, the wheel that I've ridden the fastest on is the Z10. I think it's kind of funny.
Really?
Maybe, well, I can definitely ride 28 miles an hour on the Z10.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just a sense that it's a higher quality, you know, that you don't have to worry about the wheel cutting out at you, on you, particularly if you have a lot of battery left. Because mm-hmm. the Z10 has a real nice, pleasant, gentle tilt back, you know, when you're at the max speed. And so I kind of just feel like I'm not endangering myself mm-hmm. when I go max speed.
Well, unlike the 18L, that's another thing that Ian said that I agreed with was the severity of the tilt back on the 18L, how it ramps up and it's sudden and it's fast. And he experienced the same thing. He was kind of put off by it. He said that was the most severe tilt back that he's ever felt.
I wonder why they do these things, you know, the short power butt press and the Z10, the severe tilt back and the King Song wheels. I don't know.
Yep.
Sad.
I just looked the name of that store that sells that board, and they sell all kinds of EUC stuff. It's called Wheel Tech Store on AliExpress. They have all kinds of parts, main boards. They sell all the wheels, all that kind of stuff.
I wonder. They must have some affiliation with Gateway. How could they possibly be modifying firmware to take away the tilt back?
I don't know. Well, it's weird though, because they sell more than just Gateway stuff. So I don't know. I do not know.
Huh. Someone's complaining about sound quality again.
About what?
Someone says
sound quality?
I'm at a 3 level and you're at a 10 level.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to figure this out next week. I'll have to do some more experimentation. But in the meantime, maybe Marty, if you can try to bring your Skype up to the latest and greatest level, just so we're on the same break.
Okay, I'll update it tonight. I'm gonna try and find a setting for my mic too. But I'm still basically gonna blame you for all the audio problems.
Well, yeah, that's fine. I got big shoulders. I'll take the blame. That's no problem.
Well, it's coming up about 2 hours.
Yep.
I think we might be about talked out, huh?
Yeah, I got to go to work tomorrow. I don't have the day off like I did last time, which was nice. Although I didn't have any work emergencies this time, so that was nice.
We're starting a new work schedule. I work for Boeing, and you know, they have many different divisions, but our division is going to a 980 work schedule. So nine hour days, 4 days a week, and so every other Friday is off.
Oh, well, I would probably like that. Do you like that?
I'm warming up to it. It starts tomorrow is my first 9 hour day. Mm-hmm. You know, 10 hours with lunch, right? So, but I'm warming up to it. Definitely going to be kind of cool. I have a 3 day weekend every other week, right?
What's their thought process behind that? Like, just for more employee satisfaction, or?
Yeah, I think competition. That seems to be very perk with a lot of companies around here anyway.
Oh.
Trying to attract the younger crowd. Yeah.
That's interesting. So, like, how I've started to feel more and more like I could retire because of all the stuff that I have to keep me busy, because like a lot of people I talk to say, you know, if I retire, I'll be bored. And I have so many hobbies and stuff and so much stuff to do around here. I feel like I could retire tomorrow. I would be totally content. I mean, do you feel that way? Or
I am retiring at age 62.
Okay.
Which is 4 years from now. I'm out. I'm hitting the eject button.
Oh, wow. I thought you were like 56. I didn't realize you were 58. Okay.
Yeah, as soon as I can retire, I'm like you, I have so many interests. I have a woodworking channel.
Right. Woodworking stuff, yeah.
I love woodworking, computers, the wheels, of course. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not someone that is ever bored. So right. I would have zero problems keeping busy when I'm retired. So I can't wait.
Yeah, I would love to get out, but I can't see myself even working to 62, but I don't know. I have to figure out a way to make that happen.
You can't see yourself.
I'd rather retire earlier than 62 if I could.
Oh, you like to retire earlier.
Yeah, okay. If I could. I want, because you know, I have like a pension to consider, you know, because it's technically we're on the state pension system, so to get full retirement benefits, you have to have 30 years in, and to do that, I would actually have to work till 62, but you can leave earlier, but then you just get a smaller percentage.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I could probably retire a bit earlier too. My wife is older than me too, so she can collect Social Security before I can. But yeah, it's just all the numbers come together perfectly to 62 for me.
Yeah, four years isn't that long to wait. That'll go by pretty quickly, I think.
At our age, right? You know, time. Well, you're younger than me, but
it's already started a long time ago. It just accelerates constantly.
It continues to accelerate, so it's like every year now, boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. It's kind of scary, you know. It's like I'm planning my obituary now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of. Yeah. Well, I felt that way since I turned 30. So I was old ever since I was 30, in my mind, at least.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, okay, Marty. Well, I think we outside of those audio problems for the first 10 minutes, I think we pulled things together, and we'll try to clean it up from here. I'll convert it to a podcast. Should be hopefully up tomorrow sometime. And I am going to work on getting it officially listed on Apple. I have to see if Apple fixed their problem that they had where you couldn't add any podcast to them. So maybe they fixed that by now, but I'll let you know.
Yeah, just keep plugging away at this, and maybe in a few years we'll be famous.
Exactly. That's the plan. That's my early retirement plan.
Exactly.
Podcast superstars.
So, all right, Dev.
All right, party.
Good night.
You too.
See you in a few.
All right, thanks, man.
Bye.
Okay, guys. Signing out. Have a good night.